Welcome to Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Eric White.
Welcome to this week's episode of Agency in Focus, Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Eric White. As the government's second largest agency, it's safe to say the Veterans Affairs Department's staff is huge. With 45 to 49,000 vacancies at any one time at VA, managing its workforce is a tough job. The president put the job in the hands of Peter Shelby, VA's chief human capital officer. Speaking at a recent Human Capital Management for Government training event last December, Shelby laid out where he would like to take the VA's HR office.
My vision is to make the VA's HR program the best in government, be the benchmark for the sole purpose of better serving veterans. So everything I do is focused on the mission in mind. Let's better serve veterans. How many HR offices would you think it would take to run an organization like that? Let me just give, I think Amazon has one. I think the Army has one. The Navy has one in Tennessee. Air Force has one in Texas. How many do you think the VA has? Yes, 172. And how many learning management systems do you think they have? Microsoft has one, Amazon has one. We have over 200 because many decades ago, one of the secretaries said, you need agility at the lowest level in your organization, so let's decentralize everything down to the lowest level, give them contracting authority, give them decision authority. But the Marine Corps does that too, right? We give Marines decision authority. We let privates make decisions. But I don't take a group of Marines and send them somewhere in the world and say, hey, you figure out what uniforms you're going to wear when you get there. Right? Buy your weapons on the local market. Use whatever tactics you want. Let us know how that war goes. Right? You have centralized command and control. Right? You have consistent policies, processes, right? SOPs, procedures, standard operating procedures, standard way of doing business. And you teach that to everybody. They don't have to think about it when they're out there. They got a standard way of doing things. They practice it over and over. They get really, really good at it. Now I can let the lowest common denominator make decisions because they know how to operate. This we call the spaghetti slide. This is how it operates right now at the VA. You've got me appointed by the president. You've got the Chico law that makes me the authority for human capital at the organization and the chief learning officer. We've got five Chicos. They haven't caught up with the law. They just take a long time to implement stuff at VA. I think we have six or seven or eight CLOs around the world. So I'm changing that. We absolutely have to change. There's no clear lines of authority. You have people down at the lowest level making decisions. Even something as simple as reasonable accommodation. One HR office will decide it this way. Another HR will decide it this way. But we have unions. We have close to 300,000 people represented by unions. Those people all talk to each other. They all know each other. So I'm facing a class action disparate treatment suit because they're not deciding things the same way. Right? So you see all the issues you can have when you don't have centralized command and control, centralized government. I say command and control. People in the civilian world hate that. Governance and oversight. Centralized governance and oversight. Right, we have to teach them how to do things. And isn't that much prettier? Isn't that beautiful, simple, right? A governance structure. There's common core functions across HR that should be done simply across an entire organization. So I'm starting with consolidation of common functions. We're going to get rid of all those learning management systems. I got a tiger team working now just to identify them all, figure out all the contracts, and how we can start rolling them into one. There are 50 contracts just for Blackboard. 50 different incidences just for Blackboard. Because nobody talks to each other. Everybody's got local decision authority. So changing the decision authority, figuring out what we have out there. What's common core across the department is going to be governed by central organization. And a lot of people think, well, you can't do that. You're taking away authority. And actually, I'm making it easier. If you go out there and you've got a hospital to run and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get your learning done and how you're going to get your leadership done and how your HR is going to function and how I'm going to do hiring, right? You're taking up 75% of your time worrying about issues that we, as a common core function of the department, should be providing for you so you can focus on operations. You know, I'm blessed to have come up in the Marines because we do that very, very well. Like human capital management, military does better than anybody. Marine Corps brings 30,000 new people in every year, kicks 30,000 other people out. You got this pipeline. I can take a fire team of Marines, four Marines, drop them anywhere in the world, and they will behave like Marines. They will accomplish the mission like Marines. Right? So you got to get to that. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to think about how to act when they get out because we've taught them how to do it. So getting to that in our organization, I'm working towards consolidation of, you saw there was the three. We have administrations. We have Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefit Administration, and National Cemetery Administration, consolidating them into a one capability at the headquarters level where you have a single policy office, human resources policy, single EEO, diversity and inclusion, labor management relations. They're the governance structure, right? They own policy. They own process. They develop the SOPs. They put out the policy. They translate all these laws that we're pushing through. We've pushed six pieces of legislation through just since I've been part of the VA. One organization at the headquarters determines what that law says, how it's going to be implemented, and then we teach everybody else how to do it. That's the direction we're moving, and you see the other organizations underneath there. Then, ironically, you can actually decentralize down to the lowest level, and they get a lot more agile down at the operations level because they don't have to think about these things that are common across everybody. This you can't see, but those are the common functions across all of HR. You see them across the top. And the stuff you really can't see, you guys will have all these slides, so you'll be able to see what I'm working on. But the circles are where I've focused my efforts right now. Hiring. We have people show up there, and it takes 175 to 180 days to get somebody on board. I went from government. I was an executive in the intelligence community. I decided I wanted to do something else. Somebody gave me a job. Said, hey, Pete, I think you'd be good for this job. I called the phone number on the job and said, hey, I'm interested in this job. I know I'm the right person for the job. Just put me in touch with the hiring manager. She said, okay. I got a call a day later from the hiring manager. I talked to her. She said, I think you're right. You are the guy for the job. That was Friday. On Tuesday, I was in New York interviewing all day. They kept me overnight. Must have interviewed pretty good the first day, so they kept me another day. Thursday, I had phone interviews. Friday, I had phone interviews. They made an offer to me on Friday. I accepted the offer on Saturday. The next week, I was in New York living and working. Senior vice president at a real estate company in New York. It took them 5 days. From the time they talked to me, the time I moved. I rented furniture when I got there. So I was in New York City working. How are we supposed to compete as an organization and compete with the private sector? And we got hospitals to run. Right, so we're really competing for talent. We're competing for the best doctors and nurses. There's already a shortage of nurses. You're going to tell me it's going to take me to get that person 180 days to get them on board? I got veterans suffering. This isn't an administrative position. These are doctors and nurses. They're veteran-facing, right? They talk about wait time. Some of that stuff is at the news. Well, if I can't get people hired to run a hospital, how am I supposed to see these veterans and take care of them? And another issue is we focused, you know, we've got Title 38, we got Title 38, we got hybrid, and we've got Title 5. So I've got three different personnel systems, and we got special pay, and we got credentialing, and we got locality pay, right? And we got differential pay, right? So I can't even compete for HR talent to be better at HR. So I'm focused on these priorities. The bottom line is I want exceptional customer service and satisfaction, acceptable staffing to ensure capable workforce, and exceptional workforce leadership and competency. I'm working on a core leadership program. I'm working with Congress. I'm working with OPM First. They've been wonderful. I'm getting direct hire authority for a bunch of our most critical jobs. And where they've missed the mark a lot in the VA, everybody thinks doctors and nurses, right? You think the hospital system, but if the custodians don't show up to a hospital shuts down, right? Who's going to clean the rooms? Who's going to sanitize it for the next person, right? Sterile processors. All the operating rooms shut down. You can't do any procedures because there's nobody to sterilize the equipment. Security, right? That's just in the hospital. It takes every single person in that hospital to make a hospital run. But if nobody's processing benefit claims, nobody's ever going to even get to the hospital. They can't come and use our services till the benefits claims are processed. So those jobs are just as critical. If benefits people don't show up, or if I don't have enough of them, or I don't get them trained, those veterans coming out of service can't get processed. They can't get to our hospitals. End of life. You know, our final honors to those veterans who have proudly served our country. National cemeteries. I went to a very slow cemetery in Illinois. Beautiful. 1,000-acre Abraham Lincoln Cemetery. Only about 7% of the population knows it's there, even though it's been there for 19 years. So NCA's got marketing issues. I'm working with them on that. But even at a place like that, you're doing about 25 to 30 interments a day. You got honor guards and people that dig the graves and do all that. So if they don't show up, we can't even properly show final honors. But we are in an ecosystem. It takes 100% of the people in that ecosystem to run the VA and properly serve those 23.5 million veterans out there. 1% of our population, 1%, puts on a uniform to give Americans 100% of everything we hold dear. We owe it to that 1% to give them the absolute best service, the absolute best benefits. And to me, the only way I can do that is to have our own personnel system. I have to have the agility across the board and the flexibilities across the board to be able to do a heat map. And if I've got a critical shortfall over here, I got to immediately be able to reach out, tap into that talent anywhere it happens to reside, and put them into those jobs to keep that ecosystem running very efficiently.
Peter Shelby is Chief Human Capital Officer for the Veterans Affairs Department, speaking at a recent Human Capital Management for Government training forum. Hear the rest of his presentation after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Veterans Affairs Chief Human Capital Officer Peter Shelby wants the VA's HR program to be the best in government. For an agency with 172 HR offices, coordinating all of them to work together to ensure the VA has the workforce it needs is a tall order. Shelby discussed the steps he's taking to achieve that goal while speaking at a Human Capital Management for Government training event.
First thing I'm doing is consolidating the authorities, working very closely with VHA, VBA, NCA. NCA is already a model. They've moved 100% of their HR to Indianapolis. Proof of concept, it works. We already had plenty of proofs of contracts in the private sector, but we have one actually within the VA. They've done it already. We've consolidated. We're working towards full consolidation of retirements. We're putting those in Topeka, Kansas. So 100% of VA employees who are retiring will be processed from Topeka, Kansas. So my vision for the whole thing, it didn't show the other piece of that picture, is we're going to have centers of excellence that do a common core function like retirements and classification. I think I want to put into a single common focus. I think clinical hiring, I'm going to have some centers of excellence for clinical hiring for nurses because there's so many things that go into that credentialing and everything like that. And then I'm going to have regional support centers. So my focus is from the top. I'm pushing things out of DC, closer to them. I'm having a governance structure. I've already closed the Central Office Human Resources Services, so another proof of concept. I'm the first one impacted by consolidation of capabilities. I got rid of my own HR office. Now everybody in Washington, DC that works for the VA is serviced by three different HR offices across the country. I think we're in Mississippi, Texas, and Kansas. So anybody in DC at the VA who needs something from HR talks to somebody somewhere else in the world. So I'm proving it works. What else have we done? Like I said, classifications, Detroit. VBA has already started putting all classification in Detroit. We're going to move them. So as I decentralize from the top, right, push things more and more down, I'm consolidating from the bottom. Right? Too many people go into an organization like this or a problem, and they say, well, we got to restructure. And they start with that. I say, no, what you need to do is think differently. Innovation ain't tools and structure. It's the way you think about your job, right? So let's think about how we process things, how we do. Let's do process flows. Then if there happens to be a tool that can help us do that, great. We'll bring in a tool to help us do that. And as you think about your business processes, you're going to see that 172 offices just doesn't work, right? You're going to see that, hey, these people have some depth. They do it really, really well. These people are failing. Let's shut down this HR office, expand their capacity over here and allow them. So eventually, as you're innovating your processes and thinking about doing business differently, form follows function. As you're getting better and better at your business processes, and then bringing in some tools to facilitate those processes a little more, you're going to get to, I call it, consolidate to optimization. You're going to get to a point of stasis where you've pushed things down from the top to a point of optimization, and you've consolidated things up from the bottom to a point of optimization, and that's going to be our structure. I can't tell you exactly what the VA, HR, and learning and development structures are going to be. I'm going to tell you it's going to be very, very different. And maybe one day that I have one big shiny building in Detroit, Michigan that does 100% of our HR. Or maybe I have 5 or 6 or 8 regional support centers across the country and a handful of centers of excellence. I don't know exactly what the function is going to be, but we're going to change the way we think about how we do HR and deliver those services. This year, Alice built this years ago. They broke it apart. I'm going to reassemble Common Core Corporate University. Everything that's common across, we're going to have a single learning platform, single way of delivering, and then we're going to have academies, right? Those already exist. So you have subject matter experts own the curricula, but they're supported like any college, right? You have a college sits out there. They have to do all their own admin, all their own finance, all their own registrar. They join a university system. Now they get to just focus on their core curricula, and they let the university system take all that administrative burden off of them. Same concept with a corporate university. Have all that common core stuff across learning run by a single, so you get those economies of scales, and you do it very efficiently and effectively, and let the people who own curricula focus on curricula.
Peter Shelby is Chief Human Capital Officer for the Veterans Affairs Department. I'm Eric White.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's #1 government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
You're listening to Peter Shelby, Chief Human Capital Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department, speaking at a recent Human Capital Management for Government training event.
Here's my vision for how we do leadership. I'm working on it right now. There's no... There's literally thousands, right? I went from 172 HR offices, hundreds of LMSs, literally thousands of contracts doing leadership development. Thousands. How can you do performance management if you have 1,000 different ways of defining leadership? 1,000 different standards for leadership. It's absolutely impossible, right? So we're putting in place a core way of talking about leadership. Human capital development, and everybody will go through it. Leadership is a posture, it's not a position. From day one, when you come in as an individual contributor, you're gonna get our way of thinking about leadership, our way of communicating, right? Before you become a supervisor, obviously I got a lot of catching up to do, but once you get this pipeline in place, before you become a supervisor, you go through your supervisor curriculum. The breakout on the side there, you only have so much formal learning, right? as a formal program, you learn the foundation. That's your 10 or 15% foundational things, your lexicon around it. And then everything else has to be built into on the job. Assignments, manager, leader, you know, coaching and mentoring, and, you know, a formal on-the-job training plan. These are the types of skills and behaviors we're looking for. This is how you demonstrate them. And then those verticals, you got, like I said, again, common core. This is the way we think about leadership across the board. But then there's going to be unique things. This is how you lead within NCA, right? These are the unique things about this part of the business. Same thing with VBA and VHA. This is how you lead in a hospital, right? So they'll still have some vertical things, but the 85% solution will be common across the VA, so we can start thinking about leadership and development the same way. And when you get that in place, you get true performance management. When everybody speaks the same language around leadership and performance, you can truly differentiate between your top and your middle and your bottom performers. Now I can start putting them into my talent management. When you get performance management right, now I know, wow, this person's got potential to be an executive. I'm going to put them in executive development pipeline. This person's an amazing individual contributor. That's all they ever want to be. They're a subject matter expert. That doesn't mean I don't continue to develop them, hone their skills, you know, learn new things about their profession so they can continue to grow. So in getting that first piece of it done, it feeds everything else you do with human capital. From soup to nuts, you've got a continuous flow talent pipeline.
Peter Shelby is Chief Human Capital Officer for the Veterans Affairs Department. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Agency in Focus. To hear all the episodes, go to federalnewsradio.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.